This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wa al-mursaleen, Nabiina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, as a rain, we'll be covering a very, very, very important topic.
Inshallah.
A topic, inshallah ta'ala, which is connected to the month of Ramadan as well. As the brothers, they chose the topic of keeping steadfast after the month of Ramadan. As you brothers may know, that in the month of Ramadan, due to the hype and also the glamour of Ramadan, you find that the iman of an individual is sky high. He's very, very eager to do ibadat. He has the energy. And it's also the month where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّغَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَصُلْسِلَتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. That when the month of Ramadan comes, the doors of Jannah are flung open. And the doors of Hellfire are slammed shut. And the shayateen are locked up. You find that a person finds it very, very easy due to the things that are specific for the month of Ramadan, like we mentioned in this hadith. The rahmah, the mercy, the virtues, and all the other aspects of Ramadan that you normally don't tend to find except in the month of Ramadan. Our lecture today, brothers, is that which comes after the month of Ramadan. That which comes after the month of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, it would be totally wrong. It would be totally wrong for me to say or address an individual that has come in the month of Ramadan and he only started practicing in the month of Ramadan, to look down at him or to say this guy only practices in the month of Ramadan. Because some people, when Ramadan comes, they use that as a stepping stone. They use that as a month to get back on their feet, to maybe change, and to move forward in their lives. There's many, many people like that. But the other kind of person that we want to speak about more is the type of individual that when Ramadan comes, he has that kind of mentality, I'm only going to practice in the month of Ramadan. And when Ramadan finishes, I'm going to go back to my filthy ways. So he's basically acknowledging and making that decision, in other words, that he's only going to practice in the month of Ramadan, then outside of Ramadan he's going to go back to his bad ways of being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you tend to find, from the moment that Ramadan finishes, when the whispers of the shaitan come into the heads of the people, the Eid is a day of celebration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in numerous hadiths, Eiduna ahlul Islam, يوم عرفة ويوم النحر وأيام التشريق هن أيام أكل وشرب. That the days of celebration for the Muslims is the day of Arafah, the day of Eid al-Adha, the Ayyam al-Tashriq. And also it came in another narration, the Eid al-Fitr are days that a person eats and drinks. It's a day of happiness. You find that as soon as the day of Eid comes, the cars are being rented out, the hijab gets taken off, we go back to the music. We fear that if we do something, we have this mentality, if we do something in Ramadan, it might affect our siyam. Or we might only pray in the month of Ramadan. And as soon as the Ramadan finishes, we tend to go back to all these ways. Our women, our daughters, you tend to find them maybe going back to wearing makeup, wearing fancy clothes, the hijab comes off, and this is very, very common. So this is inshallah ta'ala that we want to give great significance to today and speak about the ending of a person. And that this kind of mentality of how dangerous it is. Prophet is not the same, the one that knows something. When a person knows that something is wrong, and the person that doesn't know that which is wrong, there are two different scenarios. And they are handled in a different way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, Al-Qur'an hujjatan laku alayk. The Qur'an is either a proof for you, or a proof against you. It'll come on Yawm al-Qiyamah disputing against you because you never acted upon it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, stay away from getting close to zina, fornication, having the girlfriend, doing things with her. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to stay away from this, and you went and violated the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hudud, then you have your punishment saved for you. But the person that might have not known, then his situation is different. Brothers and sisters, this matter is very, very important. It's very, very important that we need to consider. And it's a very, very emotional topic as well. None of us want to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we know that which is right and wrong. Everything has been made clear cut to us. It has been made absolutely crystal clear. We come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about these people. Allah says about those that turned away. When maybe their family members told them that this is haram, this is wrong, this is right, and they turned a blind eye. Summun bukmun umyun. They acted like they were deaf. They didn't want to know. Who are you to tell me? I'm going to carry on my way. I am the one that has more knowledge. Who are you to come tell me? Or I am older. Or sometimes you find that when the wife, she comes and tells the husband that what she is doing is incorrect. I am the husband. I have higher position over her. She can't come and tell me what to do. This we find all the time. And sometimes between parents and children, or the other way around. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us something. He taught us something that is absolutely wonderful, that a person is being elevated in this dunya, and likewise in the akhirah gets elevated, that which is being humble. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ أَخْسِمْ بِهِنَّ. Three things I swear by Allah. From the things that he mentioned, وَمَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَ. Never does a person humble himself except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him. And that brings to mind the story of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is something related to fasting, if he went to his wives and he fulfilled his desire with his wives, and they did whatever they did, and the time of Fajr came and he was in a state of janabah, he would have a bath and he would carry on fasting. He would have a bath and he would carry on fasting. I hope inshallah it's clear that which I'm trying to maybe say, because we're little kids here who might get the wrong end of the stick. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to his wives, when Fajr came he would have a bath and he would carry on fasting. For many years, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he used to give the fatwa that if a person comes at Fajr time, the Adhan is called, and he is in the state of janabah, then that person can't fast. That person can't fast. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi. Nobody knew more hadith than him. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu one time said, مَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ يَعْلَمُ حَدِيثًا أَكْثَر مِنِّي إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Amr ibn As. Nobody knew more hadith than me than one person. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبُ وَلَا أَكْتُبُ. He used to write it down, and I never used to write it down. That was before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and then whatever Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu came across with, he memorized and he mastered, and he became the Sahabi that knew the most hadith. So what do we know now about Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, this great companion, from the tremendous of the companions, that he was an alim when it came to memorizing the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, as you can see here, that he fell into a mistake. He fell into mistake. Abdurrahman ibn al-Harith. Most of us, when we hear the word, the name Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, we realize straight away, oh, this is someone that is very, very well known, because a lot of the hadith are always Abu Hurairah, Abu Hurairah, Abu Hurairah. Abdurrahman ibn al-Harith, no one knows about him. طيب. He came up to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and without a doubt, he is more lower than him in knowledge. He is more lower than him in knowledge. He came up to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he told him that Ummu Salama and Aisha radiallahu anha, who were the two wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, what you're saying is incorrect. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Fajr came, he would carry on fasting. He would have a bath and he would carry on fasting. What did Abu Hurairah used to say? No, the guy can't fast. So when he heard this, he retracted from his statement. He never said, I know more hadith than him, I have more knowledge than him. He humbled himself, came down to his level, and accepted the nasiha. And he said, the two wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more knowledgeable.
Yeah, sure.
The whole point is that look at this great companion. He never had kibir. He wasn't arrogant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about kibir. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِنْ كِبِرٍ. Whoever has the size of a mustard grain of kibir in his heart, this person doesn't enter into Jannah. And kibir is to reject the truth and to belittle the people. So that brings us, brothers and sisters, to that which we wanted to mention, that when something becomes clear to us, something that is haram, and especially if we know it and we do otherwise, brothers and sisters, contemplate upon this ayah in Surah Al-Taha. In the end of Surah Al-Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever turns away from the reminder, from that which he has been made clear to him, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا, and this person, he will live a depressed life. Some of us, sometimes we complain about having depression, or we go through stress. We don't know what to do with our lives. The Kuffar, what do they do? As soon as they become depressed, they go to the London Bridge and they chuck themselves up. They commit suicide. There's no iman. And you wonder why some people, they tend to revert to a certain way, to a way like this. Why? Because of a lack of iman. They didn't do simply what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. We will make him live a depressed life. So if you're suffering from depression, the first place you go back to is the Quran and the Sunnah in establishing it, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to establish it. Allah tells us in another ayah, actually I'm going to come on to that later inshallah ta'ala, but just going back to this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. This person, because he turned away, just picture it in your head now, someone came up to you and he said to you, what you're doing is incorrect, or don't do this, and you know that what you're doing is totally incorrect. You turn away that one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. He will come on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ and he will be blind. So what does he say? قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. He will say, oh Allah, why have you now brought me blind? Why am I blind? And in the dunya, I used to be someone that was able to see. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَٰلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. The ayat and the verses came to you and you left it off. You left it off and you turned away. And today you're going to be left off. That's now the danger, brothers and sisters. We're not picking on anyone here. All of us, we have mistakes. None of us, for those that have come to know the Sunnah, nobody woke up one day and khalas, he ended up establishing the Sunnah. No, it takes time. People take time to realize that which is correct, which is wrong, abstaining from this, doing this action, establishing this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't happen overnight. We are all in need to improve and to change. But the issue is, when is this change going to happen? We hear this comment all the time. My own uncle said this to me years ago, when we had the beard. He said to us, why don't you just grow your beard and start practicing a wear of khamis when you become older? When you become older, then put your khamis on, then start practicing. But now enjoy your life. Enjoy it. You've only got days. But who can guarantee that we're going to even make it to that age? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي بَيْنَ سِتِينَ وَسَبْعِينَ. The average lifespan of a human being is between 60 and 70. Take 20 years out. Let's just get 60, we take 20 years out. Give it 50 years. 50 years that person has, taking away the age of puberty. 50 years that person has. If a person is sleeping 8 hours a day, do you know, brothers and sisters, 8 hours a day, if we take it out of our lifespan, that's 1/3 of a day. And that's 1/3 of your life going down the drain. 1/3, if you sleep only 8 hours. The day consists of what? 24 hours. 8 is 1/3. So if a person now is sleeping every single day for 8 hours, that takes 1/3 out of his life. So we just had 50 years. Where is 1/3 of 50? My nafs became ta'ban. 18.
Around 18.
18 years goes down the drain. How many hours, how many years left? 50 take away 18 years?
About 36, 37.
32. So 32 years that we have. And who can even guarantee that we're going to come across or we're going to live another second? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, we can walk out of that door and all of us might collapse. Is that serious and is that a reality? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الْمَسَاءِ فَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الصَّبَاحِ. When you break the morning, don't wait for the night. And when you sleep in the night, don't wait for the morning. Meaning, be on your toes. Never knowing what's going to happen. So that brings us now to the mentality that people have. I'm only going to practice in the month of Ramadan. Then after Ramadan, I'm going to go back to my ways. I'm going to go back to my club. I'm going to carry on jabsin and speaking to my girlfriend. I'm going to carry on doing this and doing that. Brothers and sisters, it's a very, very serious thing that we need to think about. How our ending will be. Will it be a good ending? Will it be a bad ending? Does anyone know Tupac here? Most of us, we know Tupac. Sah, Tupac was the famous rapper that every single person knows about. Tayyip? Talking about the issue of a good ending and a bad ending. And just bear in mind as well that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, أَنَّ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that the ending of a person is based upon his what? His actions. What he used to do. If you're someone that excessively swears, what is most likely to happen? That your life gets taken. Sah? Your life gets taken while you are doing the actions. We all know that famous hadith. When the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi dakhala al-jannah." Whoever says la ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart, then this person will enter into Jannah. All of us, we can say la ilaha illallah, we can sing la ilaha illallah all day long. It's very easy to say la ilaha illallah. But at that time, at that person's death, will it be that easy if a person was consistently being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say la ilaha illallah? Tupac, he was someone that excessively swore. He's always swearing. He's always what? Swearing. F in this, F in this, F in that. And today, we've adopted this from the kuffar. The way they speak is like this. They constantly say swear words, maybe in one sentence, he'll use the F word maybe 3-4 times. So Tupac, we have a lesson. We have a lesson. We don't just tell stories. It's not like watching a film, going to see the fair and khalas. You put the next program on, and then you put the next program on. When we mention stories, there's a lesson. There's morals behind it. We don't just mention it all so we can enjoy it, get excited and get happy, laugh about it, and just go back home, tell our families, joke about it. Rather, there's a lesson in everything. The stories that are mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We tell you of the stories in the Quran so that it can firmen your heart. That it can firmen your heart. And it can make you think, ponder, and contemplate. When Tupac got shot, he's in the hands of the police. The police is saying to him, who is the one that killed you so that we can what? Go and get this person so we can lock him up. What would a normal person do? He'd tell him, I need to get some sort of revenge. The guy that killed him to get him locked up. Most of us would do that. What do you think he said? The last things that he said to the police, he told them to F off. And that's how he died. Just to show you that if someone is excessively saying something or involved in something, then it's most likely his ending is to be like this. Another example, that's a very true story. Someone called Alan Shearer. Do you know who Alan Shearer is? Who's Alan Shearer? Excellent. Huh? Excellent. Which team did he play for? Newcastle. They used to call him the fox in the box because he always used to be in the penalty area. This guy called Alan Shearer, there was a boy, a Muslim boy, a Muslim teenager, that used to love Alan Shearer. His bed, it has a picture of Alan Shearer. Walls, Alan Shearer. Yani, everything inside his room is Alan Shearer. Today, this is the kind of fitna that we have. Messi, Ronaldo, all these other things. Whether the person is small or he's older, we've all just got this fitna. It's not something that is related to the youth only. We become enslaved to these football players. Little do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst of creation. He says that your Lord is Jesus. When he scores the goal, he does this, pointing to Jesus. He commits the worst sin, which is shirk billah. Imagine, brothers and sisters, when some of these football players, they score, and we shout their names, whatever it might be, Ronaldo, Messi, and that very moment, due to the love that we have for them, our souls get taken, and we die saying Messi or Ronaldo. This kid, or this teenager, he's on his deathbed. He's dying, brothers. Someone's coming to him and telling him to say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said? He said, Alan Shearer. And this is how he died. It's a very, very serious thing. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said to us, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَالِ السَّبِيلِ. Be in this dunya as if you are just a wayfarer, someone that's coming past. كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب or someone that is strange. Someone that is strange or like a wayfarer. Someone that's coming, doing his thing, taking whatever he needs, and then getting off. Meaning, be on your toes. Brothers and sisters, we don't know when that death is gonna come. Wallahi, we don't know when that death is gonna come. That death is gonna come to us. And that's it. We're gonna be wishing. We had just an extra moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And when the adab comes to them, the punishment, they say, if only there was a return for us, a return. So I can just do good, I can do a bit of good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us another ayah, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ الْجِعُونَ. That when death comes to them, they say, oh Allah, take us back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا. So that I can just do a few more good deeds. In another ayah he said, فَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ صَالِحًا. So that I can pay sadaqah. Take me back, just a little bit more. So I can pay sadaqah, and I can be from those that are righteous. So brothers and sisters, contemplate upon these ayat. The ending of a person, how severe it is, and how you might be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet told us, Al-Mar'u ma'a man ahab. The Aman, he's with the one that he loves. So if you love Messi, or you love that hip-hop star, or this person that plays the R&B, or all these other things, the money, the dollars, the wealth that we love, whatever it might be, a person comes in Yawm al-Qiyamah, he is with the one that he loves. So ponder upon this, brothers and sisters. Know that this could be every single one of us. This mentality, and I will keep repeating this, that I'm only going to do something in Ramadan, then after Ramadan, I'm going to leave on my salat. I heard this from a brother called Imran al-Mansur about two girls. And it's a true story. It's two girls. They have here in Britain something called Alim course that a lot of people they enroll in. So these two girls, they were from those that partook in this course. They used to wear niqab, hijab, everything. They used to wear what? Niqab, hijab, everything. And they said, let us just experience one day, and take our hijabs off. We take our hijabs off, we go to the nightclub, we smoke shisha, we do this and we do that. All they wanted to do is a small thing, to take off the hijab. That was the initial thing. And then the shaitan came and whispered, okay, just go to the club as well. Go meet with these guys, smoke shisha with them, or do this. These are girls, brothers and sisters, who are wearing niqab top to bottom. Day and night, they memorize the Quran. They decided just one day, let me take off my thing. And they ended up falling into so much ma'asi, the things they never ever expected. They ended up falling into the hands of men, and other things that they did on that day, because of what? One whisper of the shaitan, or just saying, oh, just that one time I'm going to do something, and I'm going to go back. And then you have the other side, something called the husn al-khatima, the good ending. Umar ibn al-Khattab, we know Umar ibn al-Khattab, brothers and sisters. Most of the Muslims, 99.9% of the Muslims, if you ask them about Umar ibn al-Khattab, they know Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab, we know that he was from the Durwat al-Mu'mineen, from the leaders of the believers. He's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma arzuqni al-shahadati fi sabilik. Waj'al mawti bi balad rasulik. Oh Allah, make my death in the city of your Prophet and make me die as a martyr. Just making dua like this. This is Umar ibn al-Khattab making dua. And let us, brothers and sisters, not estimate the power of his dua. Especially while we're fasting, we have a great opportunity that maybe many people don't have. In Saudi, they're only fasting maybe 8-9 hours. They're only fasting 8-9 hours. We have a blessing, and you must be wondering, what blessing is this? 20 hours that we're fasting, 20 hours. It's a blessing. Why is it a blessing? If it wasn't only for this hadith, then it would have been sufficient. The Prophet ﷺ said to us, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. Three people all have their dua rejected. And from those that he mentioned was, الصَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَفْتُرَى. The one that's fasting until he breaks it. So from the moment that you start fasting, all the way till you break it, 20 hours that you have, whatever the issue might be, whether it is a sickness, whether it is financial difficulties that you have, whether it is something that you really want, do not underestimate the power of the dua. Because anything can happen anywhere, anytime. All we need to do is believe. You know the problem that we have today, brothers and sisters, is that as soon as something happens to us, whether it's an illness, the first place that we run to is the NHS or the GP. We've got a stomach problem, we run to the GP or the NHS. As soon as we lose our jobs, the first place that we run to is where? The job centre. We're lining up. Nobody is saying don't go there, or don't take the asbab, don't take the causes. Imagine that one time that you made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that one time. You put your hands up to Him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ رُدُمَ سِفْرًا. Allah is shy and He's very generous, that when someone puts his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a means of getting your dua responded to, just putting your hands up, that Allah will send him back empty-handed. So Umar ibn al-Khattab is making dua. Making dua, oh Allah, make me a martyr and make my death in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab died while in the prayer. He was stabbed while in the prayer, and where did he get buried? Right next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the kind of example, ikhwani, of a husn al-khatima, a good ending. Sometimes you find on social networking websites, like on Twitter, on Facebook, people sending out pictures of a guy that has just died. He's died while making the sujood. Recently, an Indian man, he's sitting in the Haram al-Madini, in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his masjid. He's reading the Qur'an, and he's died while reading the Qur'an. And this picture is going wrong. It's going wrong. Whether he was Bangladeshi, Indian, I'm not exactly sure. But this picture was going around everywhere. This is a kind of example of a husn al-khatima. It just depends on you. And the other way, brothers and sisters, that we have to understand is a very, very important thing, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah. This is the perfect time. This is the perfect time, brothers. We still have 5 days remaining, 5 days remaining. And today might be Laylatul Qadr. And we mentioned the hadith before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't reject this person's dua. While he's fasting, if he makes dua, it won't get rejected. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah. Just to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on the right path. Any of our hearts, it could be anyone. Anyone, brothers. Today we see each other in the masajid. Tomorrow we go out. When is even the biggest shaykh? This has happened to ulama. Forget about normal people. It happened to ulama. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions this in his kitab, Al-Fawaid. That one man comes on his deathbed. He's singing a tune. That it could happen to every single one of us, brothers and sisters, that today we are guided, we're coming to the masajid, and tomorrow we see ourselves in the nightclub. Forget us, brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala ta'atik, wa fi riwayat ala deenik. O Allah, O turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your obedience and your religion. And he came in another narration, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ لِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَاخْبُضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرِ مَفْتُونَ. If you want fitna for me, for your slave, then take me away while I'm not infatuated, corrupted. If this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep him firm, then where do you think any of us stand? Where do we stand? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ أُسْبُعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That the hearts are between two fingers from the fingers of the most merciful one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where the hearts are. إِنْ شَاءَ يُقِيمَهُ أَقَامَ وَإِنْ شَاءَ يُزِيقُهُ أَزَاقَ. If Allah wants, He will put him on the straight path. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He will deviate his heart away. Is that easy? And that's how quickly this can take place. None of us are saved. And this is how the Sahaba were. They never became complacent. Oh, I stood on Laylatul Qadr. I paid £5. Khalas, I'm going to be getting the rewards for 84 years. Nobody is saying don't stand up and fear and die of fear and fright. Nah, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between two things. Between hope and also fear. That we fear that our actions are not being accepted, and at the same time we hope for the Jannah and the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with either of them, he's going to get destructed. Because you just keep, if a person just keeps hoping, huh? Whatever he might do, he just hopes. And he doesn't know if his actions are being accepted or not. He might become complacent and deficient in his actions, and he doesn't get anywhere. And if a person now is just constantly being scared, he will reach a point where he becomes so scared and the fright overwhelms him, and he leaves the religion altogether. He'll say to himself, Allah, whatever I do is not being accepted, what's going to happen? So a person needs to be balanced between the two matters. So the whole point here is the Sahaba, when they stood up in the last 10 days, they never said, Khalas, I'm going to chill for the rest of the year. 84 years of ibadah, I'm getting the reward for. And that's it. Rather, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they were scared. Brothers and sisters, they were scared. When they did ibadat, they never got complacent, or they never said, we're going to Jannah. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, مَا لَخِلْكَ شَيْطَانٌ قَطٌ سَالِكَ إِلَّا سَلَكَ فَجٍ غَيْرَ فَجِكَ. Never do you take a path.
Allah.
Except that the shaitan takes another path. The shaitan used to be scared of him. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, before his death, he used to tell Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamani, who was another great companion, who the munafiqun were. Nobody would know except for Hudhayfa. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to fear for himself. Is he from the muttaqeen? Is he from the pious ones? As soon as he died, the Umar ibn al-Khattab went running to Hudhayfa and he grabbed him and he said to him, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention me from amongst the munafiqeen?
Allah.
This is one of the best of the believers, scared for himself. Ibn Abi Mulaika, he mentions, أدركت 30 من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I met 30 of the Sahaba. 30 of the Sahaba. كلهم يخاف النفاق على نفسه. Every single one of them, he fears for nifaq, hypocrisy in himself. They used to be scared. They used to be scared for themselves. The ayah, brothers and sisters, والذين آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون. There's an ayah in the Quran that talks about those whose hearts are trembling. that when they are going back to the Lord, they tremble, their hearts tremble in regards to the fact of going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, is this ayah talking about the people that do sin, that commit zina, that steal, that kill, that commit the major and that commit the sins? Is this ayah talking about them, that they're scared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet said, no. He said to her, it is regarding the people that when they do good actions, they are frightened, their hearts are trembling. Is this action being accepted from me? So just because there's a great reward, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean we sit back and we lean on maybe some of the actions that we did in 2013 or stood on Laylatul Qadr then. That's sufficient for me. Wallahi, we don't know if these actions are being accepted from us. All we can do is hope and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our actions. To accept these actions. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He only accepts from those that are pious. So brothers and sisters, just concluding the lecture, this mentality, and time and again we mentioned, this mentality of I'm only gonna practice in the month of Ramadan. Wallahi, you might not even make it out of Ramadan. You might not even make it to Eid. So you're telling yourself now, I'm gonna do this sin on Eid, and I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. You haven't even come out of Ramadan, and you're already intending shar and evil. We might not even make it out of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that are mentioned in this great hadith in Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, من يقوم ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever manages to stand on the night of power, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his past sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الشهر قد حضركم وفيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر. The month has come. In it is a night that is better than 1,000 months. ومن حرمها فقد حرم الخير كله. Whoever is deprived of this day, of this night, then he has been deprived of all good. ولا يحرم الخير إلا محروم. So brothers and sisters, this is a day, or these last 10 days, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha mentioned, كان إذا دخل العشر أيقظ أهله وشد المئزر. He would wake up his family. He would wake them up. And he would tighten his belt, figuratively speaking. He would up his game. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would stand till his feet became red. Aisha, she says to him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you tiring yourself? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your past and future sins. Why did you do this? He said to her, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a thankful slave? He is striving. كَانَ يَشْتَهِدُ فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مَا لَا يَشْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. He used to strive in the last 10 days more than he would strive in the rest of the Ramadan, in any other day. Brothers and sisters, I don't want anyone to feel, oh khalas, يعني, that he has no hope remaining, or that he can't do anything else, or that khalas, he's heading towards destruction. It is a month of forgiveness, no matter what the sin is. We all have sins. We have mountains of sins that we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. Whether it's even shirk billah, shirk is the mighty sin that if a person dies upon it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will chuck him in the hellfire and he'll never come out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, O Muhammad, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَخْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to them, to the servants who have transgressed, they've sinned, they've done every single bad thing, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all past sins. Any sin it might be. Brothers and sisters, we forget. We forget wallahi what we say in the morning. We forget what we say in the morning. How many times has there been that we say something about this guy? We oppress him. We backbite. We say this about her. We accuse her of something she never did. Very, very loose on our tongues. He is part of Bani Adam. Bani Adam is going to make mistakes. It's part of his nature to make mistakes. The Prophet said, "Inna Bani Adam khata." Bani Adam, the son of Adam, is someone that excessively makes mistakes. He's always going to make mistakes. But what does he have to do? If this is part of human nature, what does he have to do? He has to go the extra step, which a lot of people don't do. When is the last time that when we said something or when we sinned, we went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we regretted what we did? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Allah azza wa jalla mentioned hadith al-Qudsi, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. You make sins day and night, and I forgive your sins. But you have to come to me in order for me to forgive you. Do we go the extra step to going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness? That's something that is rare in our lives. Whatever it might be, brothers and sisters, take this time out to think, whatever it might be, that we're sincere in our tawbah. That when we stand, when we're in our sujood, in where a person's dua is being responded to straight away, do not waste the opportunity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you need to keep you firm upon the straight path and to keep your mentality intact in the correct and to make you from those whose sins have been forgiven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a lecture that is a benefit to all of us. ما كان من خطأ فهو مني ومن الشيطان والله ورسوله بريان. Whatever I said that was a mistake, then this is from myself and also the shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger are free from this. And inshallah, if there's any khalas.
Question?
Any questions regarding a topic? Otherwise, inshallah ta'ala, we're gonna call it a day, inshallah.
How does someone seek forgiveness in that correct manner in seeking forgiveness from the
Messenger? That's a very good question. How can a person seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's many, many forms and ways that a person can seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of this is simply making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, to do istighfar. And there's shuroot and conditions. And there's a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha. She asked him that if I manage to stand on the day or the night of power, what do I say? He taught us a famous dua that we should all strive to being excessive in saying, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are of forgiving, so forgive our sins. So if a person is sincere, he regrets from that which he did, he decides that he won't go back to that which he has been doing. It's not correct tawbah that someone only comes Ramadan with the mentality he's going to go back after the month of Ramadan. We mentioned at the start of the lecture two kinds of people. The guy that wants to change and he uses Ramadan as a stepping stone to change, then it would be wrong for us to belittle this individual and say, oh, this guy only comes in Ramadan and he wants to change. Rather, the one that comes with that mentality, that's the kind of person that is defamed. So the whole point is that you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in your sujood. The Prophet said, أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهُ وَسَاجِدْ. The closest that a person is to his Lord is when a person is in sujood. Na'am, he said, أكثر من الدعاء فقمنني يستجاب لكم. Be excessive in making dua in your sujood. For indeed, the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very quick. All it takes for a person to go back, think, put your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive whatever you've done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions numerous times in the Quran, Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful and He's forgiving. But He just takes you. That's what the Miza is. That a lot of people, they struggle to do. They sin, which is part of Bani Adam, human nature, but that which they struggle to do is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take that time out. When it's only a few minutes. Brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a majlis, he will say istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfar, maybe 70 times, and in some majalis 100 times. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sins are forgiven. Then where are we? Who are constantly making mistakes, constantly speaking. We can't control our tongues. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, أكثر خطايا بني آدم في لسانه. The most excessive place in where Bani Adam makes mistakes on is because of the tongue, on the tongue. And the hadith was great as Sahib al-Albani. Many, many things, many mistakes that happen due to our tongue, but we need to go back.
You mentioned regarding backbiting and making allegations about your brother or sister. So if a brother has done it, then is there only one option, which is to ask for their forgiveness? Is that the only option for a person to be forgiven, or?
When something is related to the khalq, to the creation, let's just say now, I steal something. When I stole this thing, what have I done? I've committed a sin. I violated against the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've also stole this thing from someone else. So I violated against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I've also violated against the individual. When the violation is connected to the creation, then a person, he has to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he also needs to seek forgiveness to the person he has violated against. And the proof of this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in al-Bukhari, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من عرضه أو من شيء فليتحلله منه اليوم. Whoever has oppressed his brother, whether he's spoken about his honor, anything that he's done to anyone, then let him seek his forgiveness today. Today. قبل أن لا يكون دينار ولا درهم. Before there comes a day where no dinar or dirham, these are currencies, will be no benefit to him. No benefit. إن كان له من عمل الصالحات أخذ من سيئات صاحبه فحمل عليه. If he had good deeds, then the people that he oppressed, the guy that he stole from, the guy that he backbited, he never saw any forgiveness, then they will start taking his deeds. إن لم يكن له من صالحات أخذ من سيئات صاحبه فحمل عليه. And if he doesn't have any good deeds left, the bad deeds of the guy that he oppressed gets taken, he gets chucked on his back. So this hadith makes it clear to us that if a person has oppressed someone, the creation, he needs to seek forgiveness from him. And if this person, as Shaykh Uthaymeen mentions in his explanation of Sharh Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, that if a person thinks that if he was to now go back to this person, and it's going to lead to a bigger fitna, or he's not able to get hold of him, maybe because it was 10 years ago, then what he needs to do is make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point that we're trying to get across here, if this issue is related to the creation, then he needs to seek forgiveness from that creation as well. It's not sufficient that you only go to Allah and you've demolished this guy's honor or you've taken his wealth. But you have to go back to him and you have to also seek his forgiveness.
You have the dua you mentioned, there's another version that you hear some people say, and they add the word kareem. Is this from the sunnah or not?
Wallahi, I've seen some fatwa of the ulama saying that the word kareem is not actually part of the hadith. I can't remember exactly which alim it was, whether it was Sheikh Uthaymeen or Sheikh Al-Albani, one of these things. I was looking at the fatwa yesterday, that this word kareem is not actually part of the dua that the Prophet ﷺ told Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah wa'ala, who exactly he was, I can get a research and bring it back to the brothers. But what they mentioned, that the word Kareem is not exactly from the Nas of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha. Inshallah, then we'll call you a day if there's no more questions, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, brothers and sisters, for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please, brothers, don't get it the wrong way. I wasn't trying to oppress anyone or to put anyone down or to speak at anyone directly. It's just things that we tend to see on a yearly basis that we feel like that we have to address, so the people, they take heed. Na'am, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن. When they hear, they act upon it and they make it part of their lives. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.